Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Happy New Year to those I haven't seen yet this year. Hope you had a good holiday. Welcome back. Some are back in South Africa. Some are back in Pretoria after the holiday. It's good to see a bunch of students here as well. You are the diligent few. The others are still out in the highways and the byways. The medical students are back and the early starters are here. And we're just going to have a great year. I'm excited for this year. I hope and trust that you are excited for this year. And mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to do a bit of a recap of the last few weeks. But I want to remind us that most of us probably have a plan for 2026. Who's got a plan for 2026? Who doesn't yet have a plan for 2026? Still trying to figure out what is going to happen this year. One thing that I do know is Jesus has a plan for 2026. And He had a plan for 2025, and He's got a plan for you for 2026. And we want to hold on to that. We want to trust in that. We want to walk in that. And before I carry on, because we're kind of in 2026, if you're kind of a little bit my age-ish, you'll remember 2026, all the sci-fi movies are in our past tense. We've blown beyond sci-fi. And so we are in 2026, the New Testament church in 2026. So most of us have something along the lines like this. When we were kids, in school and young believers going to church, the pastors used to say, take out your Bibles and wave your Bibles. Who remembers those moments, you know? Make the devil nervous and the bookshops happy. They'd always say something along those lines. Let's take out our phones. I'm going to see you kind of waving your phone. We're going to do something 2026 wide. Yeah? And you're going to, some of us have nice phones and you can do the tap to pay thing, not to pay, but just the tap thing. Who's got a phone like that? Wave your NFC-enabled phone. Make sure your NFC-enabled phone is on. Otherwise, you need to open your camera, your barcode scanner. And then you're going to do a little treasure hunt on a chair in front of you. There's a little white tag. Find a chair in a row somewhere in front of you. You're either going to scan it if you're a scan phone, or you can tap it if you're a tap phone. Is it sort of working? Not working? I don't see any smoke signals yet, so no phones have blown up yet. So you can go there. That'll be, we're going to get a whole bunch more tags. We'll put them on all the chairs. Some of you kind of, it's nice because you get to lean over someone who you've invited to church specifically to take a photo. But we're going to put tags on, just kind of get into the habit. So all of our registrations, if you need information, the easiest place to be is just going to be to scan the tag, tap the tag. You can register for the family camp on there. You can register for what else is on there at the moment, our Valentine's Day thing. If you want to join our WhatsApp group, if you're looking for something to do because you've got this cool thing on your phone now and you've opened the website, then just at least join the WhatsApp group, the community. That's probably the easiest thing to do. And there's a tag there to make it really easy if you want to give online. And so that's just something we're going to keep using. And from time to time, we need to coach people in the new age. Like my children need to coach me how to use technology sometimes. Like, Dad, you don't know what you're doing. Let me do it for you. And then they figure out what's happening on the phone. So 2026, there are going to be some amazing, exciting things happening. The tech ad is over. Okay, we're back in our Jesus moment again. And so we're spending the last couple of weeks, and in January this year, we've been spending time around Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you've been around church, you've probably heard someone speak about Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that the gifts Christ gave to the church, these are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, their duty, their responsibility. My job description is to equip God's people to do His work. And so according to the Bible, who is responsible to do the work of God? Me or you? All of us as God's people. And so a large part of my duty and responsibility is equipping and empowering, is preparing you to do that, we're going to see now, for which God has called you. to build up the church, the body of Christ. This is going to continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And then we are no longer going to be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. And that is my prayer for you for this year, that you are going to grow in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church, of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And then this bit is the bit that we're zooming into. Normally, I think when we read Ephesians 5, there's a whole bunch. Ephesians 4, there's a whole bunch for us to zoom into, spend time on. We don't too often, I think, spend on this last sentence here. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We've been spending time talking about our own special work. Tap the person next to you, not with your phone, just with your finger, and say, you have a special work. You have your own special, not my special work, not your father's special work, not your brother or your sister's special work, your own special work. You and I, every one of us. And so this year, I'm putting my faith out. And as we had our crossover service, which was really good fun here going into the new year, I felt the Lord drop into my spirit that this is the year that we step into our ministry. And so for the last few weeks, we've just been speaking around that. What does that mean? What does that look like for you and me to step into ministry? We'll see how many of you have been listening over the last few weeks. Who here is in full-time ministry? We're getting there. We're getting there. And so if we read here in Ephesians chapter 4, we will see that God has called everyone. The word ministry literally just means service. And in the context, we use it in service of Christ. And so the question, when we think of who is in full-time ministry, we come into church circles often and we think the pastor or maybe the worship leader or someone standing up front here, they're the guys in full-time ministry and I'm just attending church. And that's profoundly unbiblical. Because in Scripture, we see that every single one of us following Christ, walking with Christ, are in full-time service of Christ. We are in full-time ministry. So let me ask again, for those who missed the previous week, how many of us sitting here today are in full-time ministry? There we go. We're getting better. Okay. We are all, if you are here in relationship with Jesus, you are in full-time ministry. I love the fact, maybe it's just the way I'm wired. I love the fact that Jesus has come, obviously, that he's come to save us, to redeem us, to restore us, to wash our sin away. Obviously, I love that. Who cannot love that? But I love that he didn't just come to wash our sin away and leave us stuck on our couch watching TV all day long. But watching like nice TV, not sinful TV, you know, because we're washed from our sin. No, he came to redeem us and he came to release purpose within us. He came to make us agents of his kingdom being established. So yes, he came to redeem us and he came to save us, but for a purpose. To be partners with him in establishing his kingdom. I love that. I love the fact that the highlight of the Christian life is not I'm saved, my sin is washed away, and now I sit on the couch for the rest of my life and wait for heaven. No, I'm saved, my sin is washed away, I know Jesus, and I get to walk with him. I get to grow in relationship with him. I get to see his kingdom being established in the lives of people around us. And that's not because I'm here standing as a pastor. That's here because I am a person, a follower of Jesus. And as much as it's true for me, it's true for you too. In the first week of the series, we spoke about the fact that you were here, you are here today, and you were custom built. You have been perfectly designed. We looked at Psalm 139, amongst others. You have been woven together by God, for God. As you sit here, you are perfectly designed and built. Not only are you custom built, you are purpose built. There is a plan and a purpose that God has for your life. There are good works, Ephesians 2 tells us, that God has prepared beforehand. Before what? Before you arrived, before He created the heavens and the earth, He had prepared good works for you to walk in. We spoke about the fact that you have your own special work. And we started speaking about our career and our calling, which are not meant to be at odds with one another. They're meant to complement one another. They're meant to work together. They're meant to contribute into one another. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that specifically last week, about this idea of calling. Calling being invitation, firstly, to relationship with Jesus. Your first call, my first call, my primary call in my life is to Jesus, to be with Him. So as a church, that's our prayer. That's what we work towards, is to lead people firstly to Jesus and then to grow in relationship with Jesus. When Jesus went, He called the disciples and He said, He called them to be with Him. Before He sent them, He first said, come and be with me. And then as we are with Jesus, this big intimidating word that we often think of calling, I think it's intimidating because our minds, we think wrong around it. We think vocation and not representation. We think calling is the what I do, when I think calling is far more about who I represent. And you are called to represent Jesus. Your vocation, your job, that is the vehicle through which you represent Christ. Whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a street sweeper, whether you're a musician, whatever it is you are doing, that is a way in which you represent Christ. I remember watching a testimony a short while ago of one of the Baldwin brothers. I always forget which one. That acting family from the US. One of them came to Christ. Did a video sharing his testimony of how he experienced Christ. His life began to change when they appointed a cleaner in their house, a domestic worker. What he found out later is as she stepped into his house, she decided this is her place of ministry. And so as she is cleaning the blinds and mopping the floors and washing the dishes, she spent her day praying for the family. She'd spend her day saying, Jesus, your kingdom needs to come here in this house. A person that most of us will never know. We'll never know her name. We'll never know anything about her, her children, but she's made a change in eternity. She's going to be in heaven one day and God is going to reward her, smile over her, and she's going to see a whole family walking in because she was willing to embrace that she wasn't called to be a domestic worker. She was called to be an evangelist. The domestic work was just a vehicle for her evangelism. She was an intercessor. She was praying. For me, that's such a beautiful understanding of God's call upon our lives. We're called to represent Him, not to do things. The things we do, we only do because they're an outflow of who He is, His character. A representation of knowing Him. And then we ask some questions. How do I start knowing what this is that I should represent about Christ? We had some questions around that. And if you missed last week's session or the session before, you can catch them on our podcast, on our YouTube channel. I think Darlington was on leave, so we're slightly behind. But this week, last week's one should go out, and maybe this week, today's message as well. Spend some time around those questions. What are those things that it is that God is and has been stirring in my life? And so then this week, I want us, so the first week we looked around the fact, just nailed down, you have a special work. You do. The second week, we started speaking about how do I find what is that thing in my heart, the special work? Today, I want us to talk about how do I grow in my special work? How do I step out in that thing that I sense is stirring in my heart? 1 Peter chapter 4, I love this passage. God has given each of you, every single one of us in this room, God has given a gift from His variety, His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. You have a gift. For us to embrace our gift, to grow in our great gift, we need to understand a number of things. The first one is that the gift is from God. I have a gift. I've got something that God has placed within me that is my own special work. My brother might have something similar. My sister might have something close, but it's different. It's not the same as me. One of my joys as being a parent is I've got three daughters, and they are three completely different people. We've got the same value system as a family. We love the same things largely, but they're different people, different giftings, different expressions, different ways in which those elements come out. I remember, quickly, a brag moment. I remember I was in Portugal, first, not a brag family moment, an embarrassing me moment, a brag family moment. I was in Potchefstroom ministering there, and it was a couple of years ago. And my eldest daughter, she's sitting here, so I'm trying not to look at her because I don't want to embarrass her too much. She was in the running to maybe be head girl of the school that she was at. And I was just sharing with the church in Potchefstroom, saying it's just such a precious time, just being able to talk through that, pray through that, just trust God to guard the heart. But we're excited about this possibility as well. And I mentioned kind of how people are different. And I mentioned that it's so amazing to see how God uses her in that capacity. She ended up being head girl. But I remember saying in that Potch meeting, I said, but her sister is also a leader, the youngest and middle sister. One thing I know is she won't be head girl. I was thankful that a year later, I was able to be in the same church again and repent. Because they are so different. Their gift sets are so far removed from one another, but they are both called of God to lead. And so one sister became the head girl, and the next year the other sister kind of took over the head girl mantle from her. It was a really precious moment. But so different, so unique. And sometimes I made the mistake of thinking that her gift set isn't suited to this role, but I was wrong. She just did it in a completely different way to the way her sister did. And so as we sit here, every one of us, we have our own unique way that God has put us together. One isn't more important. One isn't more special. One isn't more gracious or filled with grace, more anointed. It's just different. God is going to use each one of us with a different that he has put inside of us. So the first thing is God has given you a gift. The second thing that we can embrace is the gift that you have and the gift that I have. Its primary purpose is to serve the people around me. The primary purpose of my gift is not to lift me up. It's not for me to become some superhero of the faith. It's not to do spiritual gymnastics and be this big whoever person in the spirit. The primary gift on my life and on your life is to serve the people around us. Isn't that the example that Jesus had for us? He came to serve. He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, be a servant. So if we want to grow in our calling, we need to grow in the heart to serve. To say, my purpose here on this earth is to serve the people that God places around me. I am called as a servant, but I'm called as a gifted servant. I have a gift. Let me bring the gift that I have, that God has given to me. Acts chapter 9. Remember a couple of weeks. So last year we read through the New Testament, and just after that we the 260 challenge. This year we've started a Proverbs reading one, studying one chapter of Proverbs per week together. Contact me if you want to join. Love to have you reading with us, studying with us as we're growing in wisdom. As we were reading this, I was struck by certain sections, and I remember sitting with Kelly. He was in the band. Where's Kelly? He's outside. He's preparing for the Swahili service a little bit later this afternoon. And I told him, it's time for you guys to start ministering, sitting with our core leadership team around our Kirundi and Swahili guys. They said, no, we're not ready yet. And this was just after we'd been reading Acts. I said, well, let's take out our Bibles. And we turned to Acts chapter 9, and we read this section. So the build up to the section is a guy called Saul. And he has been persecuting the church. He has been church enemy number one, arresting, wanting to throw in jail people following Jesus. There was a guy called Stephen who was really passionate for Jesus. And this Saul guy was a leader of the group. He collected their clothes. He held their clothes together and said, "You guys go and kill him." And they killed Stephen. And this Saul guy was there all the time. Saul has an encounter with Jesus one day. In that encounter, he is blinded. He can't speak. And God says to a man called Ananias, "I want you to go and pray for Saul." At first, Ananias says, "Jesus, that's not a very good idea. I'm going to go and pray for Ananias. I'm going to go pray for Saul. And Saul is going to arrest me. He's probably going to throw me in jail. I know about this Saul guy." And God says, "No, trust me. I've chosen Saul." And that's where we pick up the story. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. He got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and he regained his strength. See, the first response to someone putting their faith in Jesus has always been to be baptized. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And then verse 20, watch this. Immediately, he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." It was a great moment I could just hold before these leaders in our Corinthian community, and I could say, "Have you had an encounter with Jesus?" The answer is yes. Then I said, "Well, then you are ready to start ministering. You are ready to start stepping out." Last week, we spoke about the fact that we aren't called because we are ready. We aren't called because we are prepared. We aren't called because we've got it all together. We're called because God wants to make us ready. Do weddings from time to time. A couple of years ago, I did a lot of weddings when we had a large student contingent, and weddings are almost a weekly thing. And people would always ask, "I don't know if I'm ready to get married. When do I know I'm ready?" I told them, "You're never ready. You're never ready." Anybody here who's married, you could say, "I wasn't ready to get married." You're never ready, but you're ready as you need to be. You're not going to be perfectly ready. There's never going to be a time where I am now fully sorted out and I am now ready to get married. That moment is never, if you're waiting for that moment, you're never going to get married. No, I'm ready enough. I'm not broken and going to destroy the other person. Jesus has put me back together. But I'm very imperfect still. And so in the same way, we are never ready for ministry. We are never perfect in ministry. We are never, "Okay, now I have achieved and now I can step out because I have qualified." No, we're never going to get to that moment. But at the same time, we are always ready because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. I love the Saul starts immediately. He knows he's called. So what does he do? Well, he starts doing what he's called to do. Just right there where he is. A couple of verses later in Acts chapter 9, verse 22, Saul's preaching, I love this, became more and more powerful. The Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proof that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But if it became more and more powerful, it means he grew in his ministry. He didn't start as this, "I've got all of the answers, all of the power is already here," power in the way that he communicated and ministered. No, he grew in it. He started somewhere. Luke 2:52, a great verse. Jesus, the boy Jesus, grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Even Jesus, yes, Jesus grew in his body, but Jesus as a man on earth, he grew in wisdom. He grew in favor. He grew in ministry. So you're not ready yet, but you are ready. You're ready to start right now, right here. We want to seek growth, not perfection. We just want to be ready to grow. We want to say, I'm starting, and we'll look at this in a moment, but let me say, be willing to start small. We don't have to have the whole thing panned out. I love Paul just went to the synagogue. He just found some Jews and started telling them about Jesus. So I'm talking in a church context here, but this translates whichever context you're in. That which you sense is stirring in your heart to do for the glory of God, just start. You don't have to have the whole thing panned out, prepared, all of the plans ready. But as I step out, I understand this is something that I'm going to grow in. I'm not going to start perfect. We want to seek growth, not perfection. Acts 18. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, later on, Paul writes very favorably in a number of places about Apollos. At one stage, he said, Saul, he had two names. The Hebrew name was Saul, his Roman name was Paul. So when he traveled in the Roman world, he was called Paul. And he says, I planted and Apollos watered. He came and contributed to what I'd been doing. So this Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. Something else we want to do as we start embracing our own special work is we want to remain teachable. We want to understand that there are others who are perhaps a step or two ahead of us, who have experienced things that we haven't yet, and we want them to speak into our lives. Apollos could easily have said, no, I've got my ministry, I found my special work, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. But he was willing to say, okay, there's elements of the gospel that I don't understand yet. Thank you, Priscilla and Aquila, for helping me, for teaching me, for instructing me. Thank you for enhancing and improving my ministry. Thank you for helping me to grow. So we want to remain teachable. A lot more that one can say around all of these elements. I'm going to get to the last passage in a moment, but before we do, a really practical tip that worked in my life, not just in because I'm preaching in this capacity now, but just in the things that the gifts that God has given me and to find expression for them. Do you know the perfect place to start is right here? A grace-filled environment. A place where there are people who are not looking to criticize you and to defeat you and to beat you. People who can say, hey, let me help you to grow. Maybe you say, I feel I'm called to serve. It's just really hard to serve. A really easy place to start is go to your small group. If you're not in a small group yet, scan the tag, send us a message. We'll add you to a small group. Small group is where life happens. So I'm going to start serving just these four or five people in my small group. Can I make you coffee? Maybe you're here and you say, hey, I know I need to grow as a servant. There are a whole bunch of other things I'm good at. Serving is not one. Where can I grow as a servant? That's a fantastic place to grow. Maybe you're going to pick really bad coffee. So those, again, if you're in my age group, snob coffee is a new thing. We didn't have snob coffee when we were kids. You know, there was just coffee from the pot. And then you had to make mom and dad coffee on Saturday mornings or whatever. And I've got three brothers. And I had a wise moment one day. I made bad coffee. I made the worst coffee. My parents never asked me to make them coffee again. They worked the other, they lay in their bed and shouted in the house at one of the other brothers to come and make coffee. They never asked me to make them coffee. You see, sometimes you need to be shrewd, wise as a serpent, but harmless. I didn't put like poison and stuff. It just wasn't good coffee, you know. Some of us need to learn to make good coffee. We need to learn to serve. And if you're going to make bad coffee in small groups, someone's going to say, hey, listen, can I teach you to make coffee? Because this is not the best coffee ever. You can do better. I can help you to do better. Maybe we don't serve so well that day. Maybe our heart isn't right. Someone's going to say, hey, I see you a little bit irritated. Can we pray together? A graceful environment is the perfect place to start. See, church is so many things. Church is a place where we come and experience Christ. 100%. Church is also the place where we learn to serve Christ and we learn to serve His people. I've got a friend, she's a medical doctor. got some doctor students here, and she was just one of those really precious people. We can, if I could cut her heart out and just implant it into so many more people, that would be amazing. Came to the end of her studies, and she just made a commitment to herself and to Christ. She wasn't going to step back from what God called her to do and the place He called her to serve in church, even when the studies got hard. So she worked really hard. She did really well as a doctor, but she led missions teams in her last year or two and was super involved, led small groups, organized worship moments, just was it full on for the gospel and full on for her studies, and started working because they go and do those internship years. And then as the community service here, and we've still got really good contact. And I remember speaking to her one day and just asking her how it's going in the community service and different things. She says, Philip, she's realized, and this shocked me. I was not expecting her to say this. As a community service doctor, she uses what she learned in church more than what she learned at varsity. The people skills, the ability to lead, to manage stressful environments, to work with nursing staff who are much older than her, probably understand medicine better than her as a young doctor, have got a lot more experience. All of, obviously, the technical knowledge she learned as a medical student, obviously, I mean, not saying that was pointless. But there were things that she learned in church and only learned in church that she was so thankful for, that she kept leading missions teams and kept leading people because it made her a better doctor. For me, that's a beautiful picture of church. Church should be the place where we learn to walk in what God's called us to walk in, where we learn to walk in who God has called us to be. It should be an incubator where our purpose begins to find expression and flow out in an environment that's safe, non-judgmental, encouraging. If we get it wrong, hopefully we're not going to get a hiding. We're going to get an embrace. We're going to say, hey, I can see you struggling. Let's get up. Let's go again. Come alongside you. We're going to get this right because Jesus has called you. So the last point for this morning, and then we'll pray, Zechariah chapter 4. Last year, if you were around last year, we had a really cool moment at the crossover service for those who were here. We weren't full on the evening. We were about 50% full on that evening. And as I looked around, I realized that literally only a handful of us, it was myself, two of my daughters were here. And I think Kelly was here and his wife, Cynthia. And who else? There's a small number of people. Small number of people that had been here on New Year's Day the year before. Almost the whole room was filled with people who had joined during the course of last year. And so the start of last year, I want to go back there because maybe some of us missed this. We spent a lot of time on Zechariah chapter 4, on this principle, which just so stuck with me. Zechariah writing, as he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit. So we're not working in our own ability, our own capacity. We're relying in the spirit of God to empower us. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it. May God bless it. So the context here is Zerubbabel has a word from God. He needs to rebuild the temple. God says he will be the one who rebuilds it. And what we see here is when he is finished, the people will rejoice. People are going to be excited. Isn't that true in life? People love the finished product. People love to see the company prospering or the degree finished. We love seeing that final moment where it's working. But I love this in verse 8 and verse 9. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, because watch this. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. See, so often we get caught up at what this is going to look like. How am I going to finish? And we need to finish well. We want to finish strong. We get caught up in the excitement of the finish. And we lose that God gets excited at the start. God loves to see us start. And so you and I, as we are here, God has a special work. He has prepared good works prepared beforehand for you for 2026. He has got specific things in mind, and it's not so much the things that he has in mind as much as he has the representation that he has in mind. He has places prepared for you to represent him, to represent his righteousness and to represent his justice, to represent his grace and his mercy and his truth. All of those different elements mentioned a couple in one of the weeks in the build-up. If we were to ask around the building here, what is it about God that appeals to you most? We would each have a slightly different answer. Not a wrong answer, but just a different answer because of the manifest and the manifold glory of God. How broad his glory, his nature, his character is. We all attach a little bit more to slightly different pieces of who he is because he has made us different. We've got our own giftings and we have our own revelation of who he is. And as we bring that, as we each do our own special work, the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so that's my prayer for you. What am I praying for you at the moment? I am praying for your special work. I'm praying for every one of us to find our spot where we can bring our own special work. Every one of us where we can step up and we say, God hasn't given me much, but God has given me this. And guess what? I'm the only one who's got this. You don't have it. My neighbor doesn't have it. My brother doesn't have it. I've got it. And I'm bringing it. I'm putting it on the table. I'm saying, God, that little bit that you've placed inside of me, I am going to make your name even more glorious with this bit you've given me. I'm going to put it on the table. I'm going to work with the people around me. We're going to come together as church and we're all going to bring our own special work. And as we do that, the glory of Jesus is going to infiltrate our suburbs and our communities, the places we work, because people are going to see you live different. You live forgiven, you live free, but you live with purpose. You live with gifting. You live with grace in your hand and in your heart. And you're saying, God, the bit that I've got, I'm bringing it for your name, for your glory. Can we stand this morning? I would love to pray for us all. Jesus, I'm just so aware, Lord, that even in this room, in the parents' room, just alongside on YouTube, as some people are watching now or will be listening later. Every single one is unique and different. Everyone is infinitely loved by you. Lord, everyone is special, not just because the special work that you've placed in their hands, Lord, but the special revelation you've placed in their hearts. Every one of us, Lord, we are made in your image. And we carry you, Lord. We experience you in different ways. Lord, I'm thankful for the variety of gifts that you've placed in this room. Every single person, a gift from your hand, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, as we've been praying these last few weeks, I pray that we may grow in grace. And that we may grow in the grace of knowing and understanding what you have placed in our hands, Lord. Lord, I pray that as a church and as individual members, every single one of us, we would know and walk in our calling, God. We would know and walk in what you've placed in our hearts. Father, we want to, by faith, say that in 2026, we are going to walk in the good works you have prepared beforehand, Lord. We're not going to stumble in on 31 December just finally having figured one small thing out. Starting today and every day from now, Lord. Lord, we want to bring the gift that you've placed in our hearts the skill that you've placed in our hand, the revelation you've placed in our spirit, Lord, we want to bring it so that the whole body would be healthy and growing and full of love.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.